First Peter 3 is where you should be. Remember, Peter has been talking about our status as believers, how we are aliens in this world, foreigners, outsiders. We've talked about that over and over again as we've been going through this book, how you are an outsider even within your own culture. If you're from Korea and you're a believer, you're an outsider to Korea, as I am in America as a believer. And that's normal, and that's okay. But then there's this business of how do we live? Because the deal is, while we are outsiders, we still have to live in wherever it is you live. And so he has entered into this section of the book where he's now talking about how do we live, given the fact that we actually don't belong here. And yet we still have to live here. And there are times when he's been saying, yeah, you don't do what they do. But then there are other times where he says, well, follow the authorities. And so we're going through that. We're in the middle of that right now. And he's in marriage. Because you don't belong here. And yet we find ourselves living in marriages. And so how do you live when you're in that situation? And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. In December, my family and I, we watched a movie called White Christmas. We do this every year. And White Christmas is one of those really old, old Bing Crosby movies with lots of singing and dancing. That's what it is. And it's got all these dance scenes in it. And when you watch the dance scenes, there's the guy, there's the girl, and they're all doing these different twirls. The guy spins the girl, and she does whatever, and she falls back into his arms, and they all have these different moves that they do in the dance scenes. And the deal is this. The man's moves are not the woman's moves. If they all did the same thing, the dance would be pretty ugly looking. But they don't do the same thing. They actually have different moves. You see this on Olympic figure skating, right? The pairs figure skating, and there's the guy and the girl, and they're on the ice, and the guy, he throws the girl up, and she spins around and lands and kicks her leg out and slides around this way, and he grabs her, and the guy's moves are not the girl's moves, are they? They do different things. And it is beautiful when you look at it. Marriage is a dance. Just like that. The guy's moves and the girl's moves, and they don't have the same roles. But when it's done well, when the woman does her role and when the man does his role, what you see is a perfect 10 on the ice. It's a beautiful thing. But it gets messed up when the woman decides, well, I want to do what he's doing. Or when the man starts pulling her to here, and then the dance gets messed up. And it gets to be actually a fairly ugly thing. And I bet you've seen examples of beautiful marriages and examples of ugly marriages, both. You can probably think of examples in your mind. Now, Peter is describing the dance, as we're in the middle of 1 Peter right now. Last week, wives. This week, husbands. And so today I'm going to read verses 1 through 7, which includes wives, but we're only going to focus on verse 7 today. So it says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word, by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord.
And you are her children, if you do good. And do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
Okay. Last week, I kind of gave some introductory comments before we got into the text, and I'm going to do that again this week. If you remember last week, one of my comments when we were talking about wives, I talked to the men, and I said, men, Peter isn't talking to you. He specifically addresses, he actually says, wives, do this. And so when he says, wives, we need to talk to wives, because we just want to follow what the scripture says. And so it doesn't say, men, make sure your wives submit to you. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. Okay, today, I'm going to say the same thing in reverse. I'm going to talk to the women. Ladies, Peter isn't talking to you. He now is addressing husbands. And I have seen women say, well, he doesn't love me as Christ loves the church, and blah, da, da, da. And he doesn't live with me in an understanding way, and he doesn't. And that's not your verse, ladies. That's for the men. And so mostly today, I'm going to focus on the men instead of the women. Now, ladies, you can listen in. But primarily, this is for the guys today. And so that's the first thing I want to say by means of introduction. Second thing. Sometimes in marriage, people think that I'm in Christ, my husband, he's in Christ, we're going to live happily ever after. Christianity is not a fairy tale. This is no Cinderella here. We still live in the real world. And sometimes it hurts. And that's normal. One of the realities of marriage is that whether you're the guy or the girl, it doesn't matter, husband or wife, you're married to a sinner. And now you are living really closely with someone who's sinful. That's a reality of marriage. And you have to work that out. And it's not always easy. And so that's the second thing I want to say by means of introduction to this, what he's going to say. Third thing I want to say is this. These texts are addressing marriage. And I know that probably most of you here are single. And so while I'm going to be talking marriage, if you're single, I think this still applies to you. One, because probably most of you will one day be married. And it's good to know what you're getting into before you get into it. And two, I believe the principles that we're going to talk about today are still going to help you in dealing with the opposite sex now as singles. And so I will, toward the end, I'm going to kind of make some applications for singles because I know we have so many people here who are single. Okay, now let's look at the text, verse 7. It says, likewise, husbands. Likewise is the same word we've seen throughout. And he's not saying husbands are to submit to their wives like the wives are to submit, because he goes on and tells us what the husbands are to do. He's simply spelling out that they go together. It's the husband and the wife are a unit. They're one. They're not two. And so Peter puts them together. Yet they are two, aren't they? They do have different roles, though they are one. See, this is what Scripture says about marriage. It's the two become one, and they're two, and they're one, and they're two, and they're one at the same time. Almost sounds Trinitarian, doesn't it? with a different number. But there's a truth to that. And so he says to husbands in verse 7, live with your wives in an understanding way. Literally, it's live with your wives according to knowledge. That's literally what the Greek says, according to knowledge. Now, what that means, guys, the first thing it means is live with her. Those are the first three words out of Peter's pen after the word husbands. Live with your wives. What that means, guys, is when you're married, you don't run away. You live with her. It means you are committed to that relationship. Guys, women need to know, if you're in a marriage, women need to know that you're committed to them. She needs to know that. And you need to let her know it. You need to let her, I'm not going anywhere. It means you're not going to run off with another woman. It means that. It means that you're not going to be looking for someone else because she irritates you. You married her. You do know what marriage is. Marriage is the two become one. And if the two are one, how do you take one and undo it? It means divorce isn't really something that you think of. Let me illustrate this, because here's how most Americans think of divorce. Most Americans think of a divorce like two magnets. I got a magnet, and I got a magnet, and boom, and they're together. And marriage is the two magnets come together. And divorce is we take the two magnets apart, together, apart, together, apart, just like that. And they think that that's marriage, divorce. That's nonsense. That's not what marriage is. It's more like this. Take a piece of paper and take another piece of paper and glue them together so that you now have one piece of paper with two sides. Okay, now take them apart without damaging one of them. You can't do it, can you? Okay, that's what divorce is. It's much more like that than two magnets. There's no harm in two magnets. But you try and tear one flesh apart, and oh my goodness, you are asking for pain. And you are asking for pain on the woman's side, and you are asking for pain on the man's side. Because that's how God designed marriage. He designed marriage to be a one flesh thing. You can't undo it without extreme pain on both sides. That's what it's like. It means real men stay with their wives. That's part of what it live with her means. Now, live with her, he says, according to knowledge. Live with her according to knowledge. Knowledge of what? Doesn't say. All Peter says is live with her according to knowledge. Now, the translation in the ESV says live with her in an understanding way. The NIV reads be considerate as you live with her. And what they are suggesting in that translation is knowledge of her. Live with her according to knowledge of her. And I think that is true. Guys, we need to know, when you're married, you need to know your wife. That's important. You need to have some knowledge of your wife so that you can live with her in a way that understands where she is and who she is and where she's coming from. And that's how that's what that translation is getting at. Live with her in an understanding way. But I think it's more than that. See, I think that translation captures only one slice of the pie. But there's a whole pie there. See, I think it's live with her according to knowledge of her, yes. Live with her according to knowledge of what marriage is in the first place, yes. You need to understand what marriage, you need to know what marriage is as well as know what she is. Like, live with her in according to knowledge of your own weakness, guys. I think we need to understand our weaknesses. Live with her according to knowledge of Christ. Because if you are in Christ and you live in a relationship in accordance with your knowledge of Christ, it changes how you live in that relationship. You don't live the same way in Christ as you do out of Christ. Live with her in accordance with that knowledge that you have of Christ. Live with her in accordance with the knowledge of the gospel. I think all of those things are packed into what's going on here. It's more than just be considerate, as the NIV translates it. It includes be considerate. It includes understand her. But it's a lot more than that. There's a lot in it. Now, it does mean understand her, so let's talk about that a little bit. Talk to her. Listen to her. Ask her what she thinks and how she feels about whatever. Seek out her thoughts. I actually, as I was preparing this sermon, I talked to my wife and asked her, said, hey, I'm preaching on, you know, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding. This is kind of awkward, preaching this in front of your wife. There's some accountability here, you know? And so I asked her, give me some ideas. How can a man live with a woman in an understanding way? I want your perspective. And actually, some of the things I've said are things that she told me. What are things guys can do? And so she gave me some suggestions, like talk and listen. And when I share what's going on with me, it brings her into my life. She likes that. She likes being a part of my life. She's married to me. We're one flesh. When you're one, you kind of like to be part of the person you're one with. When I ask her opinion, it honors her. That's something she had said to me. She mentioned this practice that we have. So I'm going to share this practice with you. We call it, it's actually really, guys, it's not really romantic. We call it a business meeting. That's what we call it. Once a week, Leanne and I sit down and we have a business meeting. And in our business meeting, she gets her calendar and I get my calendar because you got to know our family. It's like we're in 16 different directions every day, literally. Sometimes we're up at 5:30 in the morning and we're not in bed till 11 at night, and we haven't really had
the next morning.
What's that?
And you have to get up at 5:30.
And we have to get up at 5:30 the next morning. Exactly. Thank you for that addition, Matthew. Matthew knows our schedule. Trust my kids. They know what's going on in the house too. And we have to set aside some time each week to actually talk. And so we do, and we set aside time and we go over the calendar, and what do you have next week, honey? And what do you have? Okay, I've got this on Tuesday and this on Thursday, and what do you got? I've got an appointment with Mom on Wednesday at 11, and I've got, okay, and so we coordinate our calendars so we're not, like, stepping on one another's schedules. What issues do you need to talk about? That's part of our business meeting. And we talk about everything from, well, my mom needs this. This is going on with my mom right now, and she needs this from us. Oh, this issue's going on with one of the kids. How are we going to handle this issue with one of the kids? Or we need to set the budget for next month. We need more. We're going to have to spend more on education next month. Where's that money going to come from? We're going to have to shift it from something else to education. We got to talk about what we're going to do with the money. How are we going to discipline the kids? What are we going to do with her mom? How are we going to handle Christmas? Because we, you know, different papers, like all kinds of stuff. When are we going to go there? When are we going to? And that's the time for us to talk about all that kind of stuff. Now, what Leanne said to me is, she knows that if there's an issue she needs to discuss, she's going to get stuck. It's just, blah, I can't talk. She's going to get to discuss it. Now, it might not be right then. She may think of it on Friday at a basketball game. And that just isn't the time or place to discuss it. But she puts it on her list, and she knows that I'm going to hear what she has to say. And she's going to get to say what she wants to say. And maybe she has to wait until that, but she knows it's going to happen. And she's, that was one of the practices we do that she said really, it made her feel included. It made her feel part of me. It included her in the decisions. It let her know she's important. And so all of that is part of understanding your wife. Now, according to knowledge is more than that I shared with you. It's more than know your wife. Guys, know Christ. If you want to know the best thing you can do to improve your marriage, I'll tell you what it is. Improve your walk with Christ. You walk with Christ, Christ changes you, guys. And as you change, it affects how you relate to her. You don't treat her the same way in Christ as you treat her when you're not in Christ. And the more you grow in Christ, the more it affects how you live Christ out within your marriage. And this is part of according to knowledge. And when I say this, I'm not talking, guys, about head knowledge. I know lots of men and women too who they know all the doctrines, but the heart just isn't there. You've met people like that. Usually, the world calls them hypocrites. That's the normal word the world refers to those people as. So when I talk about knowledge, I'm not talking about intellectual knowledge. I'm talking about you know Christ, like you would know your wife, like you know your brother. You know your brother much differently from how you know economics. It's a different kind of knowledge. You know, start to know Christ like you know your brother. Get to know him. Grow in him. It's going to affect your relationship with your wife. I guarantee you. It can't help. In fact, if it doesn't affect your relationship with your wife, I would say you really haven't gotten to know him very well. It is going to affect your relationship with your wife. The more we want to honor Christ from the heart, then the more we want to honor our wives, guys. That's how it works. Because here's the deal. When we honor our wives, what we are honoring in the picture is the church. Paul said that a marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. And guys, you play a role in the dance. You're Christ. And the wife plays a role in that same dance. She's the church. Do you think Christ honors his church?
then honor your wives as Christ honors the church. He does. It changes you. If you want to honor Christ, you're going to honor your wife. Sometimes I think we don't see, in marriage, we don't see women, I'm talking to the guys right now, we don't see women as the glorious bride of Christ. That's what she represents. If we were to see that woman represents the bride of Christ in all of her glory, oh my goodness, we would change how we acted toward her. And that's exactly what Scripture says she is. Okay, Peter then goes on. He says, husbands, live in an understanding way with your wives, as with a weaker vessel. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. So we need to talk a little bit about this weaker vessel thing. This phrase, in the West especially, has come under a lot of attack because people say, well, you mean women are weaker than men? No. That's the kind of the reaction that you get from people in the West anyway when they see this word. They don't like the idea of calling a woman weaker than a man. I mean, look at the movies. I mean, in the movies, we got these women heroines who, I mean, they take out 40 guys. It's like, come on. That's Hollywood, guys. That's not reality. But that's a message Hollywood wants you to see. Hollywood isn't doing that on mistake. Now, the word vessel was actually a common metaphor in ancient Greek to refer to the body. In fact, Paul uses the same word when he says literally that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's in 2 Corinthians 4:7. Same word. Paul is using the word vessel there, and what he's saying is we have God, he's talking in the context, God is inside us. That's what he's saying. We have God inside an earthen vessel. Earthen is earthy. Body. God is in our bodies. That's the idea that Paul is getting at. A vessel is literally an object that holds something else, like a pitcher holds water. That cup is holding juice. Those are vessels. And so a vessel is an earthly thing that holds something else, usually more precious. Okay, a woman is a vessel. There's an earthly part of her, and there is a something else part of her, just as a man is a vessel. Okay, when he is saying the woman is the weaker vessel, he's referring to her body. All he's really saying is, she's not physically as strong as you, guys. That's basically what Peter is saying. And if Peter were to listen to all of the critiques of what he said about weaker, he would say, well, what else would she be? She's... Listen, isn't this obvious? I mean, name one woman player in the NBA. Name one. You can't. How about the NFL? You can't, can you? Major League Baseball? No. Men's soccer? No. Why at UT, right over here, do we have a men's basketball team and a women's basketball team? Why don't they just, I mean, if we want to do the feminist thing, and everybody, there's no real differences in gender, then let's just have one basketball team. Why separate them out? You know why we separate them out, because it's obvious.
There's a physical difference between men and women. And that's really all that Peter is getting at. He's saying, men, you're stronger than her. Honor her as the weaker vessel within the marriage. He's not saying, with weaker vessel, she's intellectually inferior to you. He's not saying she's spiritually inferior to you. In fact, he's going to say in the next phrase that she is a joint heir with you of the grace of life. And so there's nothing, this has nothing to do with value. This has nothing to do with intellect or spiritual abilities or anything like that. All this, you're stronger, guys. Now, one thing I think he's addressing in this is domestic abuse. Domestic abuse is as old as the human race. And it is as modern as the news tonight. And it's no respecter of cultures. It existed in ancient Rome quite commonly. And it exists in modern America, probably just as commonly. I don't know. I'm not trying to make statistics. I don't know them. But it is common here. And what he is saying is, men, honor her as the weaker one, because men, you're stronger. You could physically force things your way if you want it. And he's saying, you can't do that. He's saying, men, don't take advantage of your physical strength in the relationship. Now, there are men who do that. You know, men could, in most situations, dominate with his fists. And Peter's calling them to not do that. It means don't ever raise your hand against your wife. She's your wife. She's actually part of you. Remember, the two become one. When you raise your hand against your wife, you're raising your hand against yourself. Men. You honor her, and you do not honor a woman with your fists. You do not. That's sin. Domestic abuse makes the picture, the dance, really ugly. That picture that's supposed to be Christ in the church doesn't look much like Christ in the church anymore in that kind of relationship. It mars a precious princess of Christ. Because that's what she is. Second thing I think he means with the weaker vessel. This is by means of application now. Men, honor the woman as the weaker vessel. I think also gets at the fact that our role as men within the relationship is a protecting role. We're the stronger ones. We have the responsibility to protect the ones that are physically less strong. So I mean, stand up for your wife. Application here. We're in bed. It's night. It's 2 a.m. Leanne hears a sound out in the living room. Honey, wake up. I heard something out there. Okay. Guess who goes and checks on the sound in the living room? That's my role. I mean, I'm the stronger of the two physically. I'm the one who should. I have a responsibility to protect her. You know, you're walking down the street and here comes a guy with a knife, and who's going to take him on? It should be the guy. The guy shouldn't run and leave the wife to, honey, this was your turn. I got the last one. And so, no, that's not how it works. And it doesn't matter if she's got a black belt in karate and you don't. You're the guy. So, men, your role in this dance, one of them is to protect your wife. She's the weaker vessel. That's part of honoring her as the weaker vessel. Third, honoring your wife includes your words. We talked physical stuff, but it also includes your words. It means that I have to speak well of my wife in front of other people. And I pray that you have never heard me say anything demeaning about Leanne. Now, does that mean that I always agree with Leanne? No, we don't always agree. Have we had our arguments? Yes, we have had our arguments. And I may even talk to somebody about an argument I've had with her about, you know, just, this is what's going on. But I may not demean her in that. I may not put her down when I'm seeking counsel from somebody. And so I'm not going to, well, she... That's not... Men, accept your role. And whatever the argument is, and whatever, you have a role, you had a part to play. Instead of pointing the finger at her, accept your part. Accept your responsibility. Leave her part to her. Last week I told the wives, wives, you're not going to change your husbands. This week I'll say to the husbands, you aren't going to change your wives. And so, just wives, you take your responsibility. Men, you take your responsibility. And men, if God ever blesses you with children, you may not allow your children to show disrespect to their mother. This is part of honoring your wife. And so that happens occasionally in our home. And I'll hear a kid talk about, maybe the way they talk to Leanne or something. And I have to step in and say, listen, you will not talk to your mom that way. Do you understand? And they understand. and that I don't have to do that very often. Peter then goes on and tells you why you should honor the wife in verse 7. And he says, So here's where we are now. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since, this is why now, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. That's why. That's why you show honor to the wife. She's an heir with you of the grace of life, husband. Honor her. That's why you live with her according to knowledge. Men, she's an heir with you. Now, this is incredible. So think for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It's when we were back in chapter 1. You remember what Peter said? He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Catch that. You have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, that's kept in heaven for you.
and she has the same one. That's why you honor her. She's a princess. She's royalty. She's radiant royalty. You would honor radiant royalty. Then honor your wife. Because that's what she is. She's going to inherit what you're going to inherit. We need to see women that way, men. That's not how American culture sees women, by the way. That's how God sees women. It's not how American culture sees women. And it's probably, I'm going to guess, in your cultures, it's probably not how your cultures see women either. And so we've got to honor that. Then finally, he says, there's another reason, men, why you're to do this. So that your prayers may not be hindered. It's the very last phrase in verse 7. Live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since she is an heir with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let me just tell you, personally, how that phrase plays out in my own life. Because that phrase has played out in my own life. So there have been times, several times in our marriage, when Leanne and I have had a fight, and I have said things to her that I should not have said, in the heat of the moment, you know, just comes out. And I have demeaned her, I've put her down wrongly. And we go our ways. Because when you're, you can't just, oh, well, I don't know, maybe you can. I can't just. Oh, yeah. You know how, you know, you've seen this happen. You know how you're in someone's home, there's an argument, the phone rings. Oh, hi. I can't do that. How do you do that? I mean, when you're, I can't just, we go our ways, and I have to kind of slowly, I'm sort of like a boiling pot. It's not room temperature right away. It's got to slowly get back to room temperature, and that's kind of how I am. So we go our ways, and there's this issue between us, and before long, I come to the Lord to pray. And so I get down on my knees, and I'm trying to pray. It's not coming out. And maybe I want to pray about my kids, or I want to pray about my wife, or I want to pray about work, or I just want to worship God. And it just, I can't. I can't pray. And what God, and then God starts talking to me. He said, why do you praise me when you treat your wife that way? That's what God says to me. And this is the same thing Jesus said when he said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and bring your gift. Okay, my prayer is my gift at the altar, in a sense. And I'm trying to come to God, and God, I want to, and God is saying, first, go and be reconciled, in this case, to your wife, and then come back and offer your prayer. That's the idea. Jesus wants pure prayers. He doesn't want fake prayers. And I can tell it's fake. I can. And so what winds up happening is I first wrestle with God over it. There's, you know, but, and God's very firm. He's not
go talk to your wife. I don't really want to. And I have to change. My heart has to change. And my heart, it does. My heart doesn't change like that. But eventually, at some point, I have to go to Leanne and ask for her forgiveness. Then, I can come back and pray. The way I treat my wife hinders my prayers sometimes when I mistreat her. When I do not honor her, when I do not live with her according to knowledge, when I do not do what Peter says to do, it hinders my prayers. It really does. I'm telling you this from personal experience. In fact, this has happened many times, so that one time I came to ask Leanne, and she said, "Were you trying to pray?" Yeah, I was. Guys, when you mistreat your wife, it actually hurts your relationship with God. It really does. She is the church. You are Christ. Christ doesn't treat his church that way. Now, we've talked marriage. Let me just kind of close with some how to apply some of this if you're single. Because most of you here are single. So let me talk to ladies first. Ladies, you've gotten a picture now of what a husband should be. Start looking for that in a man. That should influence who you look for and what you look for in a guy when you're single. If you know that's where marriage takes you, then you don't want to enter marriage with a guy who's not going to do that. You want a guy who will lead. Yes. But you don't want a guy who will control and dominate. There's a difference between leadership and domination. Those aren't the same thing. Sometimes the world confuses those things. They're not the same thing. And so if a guy never listens to you and wants to dominate and control the relationship, find another guy. If he shows no desire to seek your opinion, you might want to look for another guy. Those are bad signs. Guys, if you want to honor your wife when you're married, but you're single now, start honoring women now. You'll find that the practice will carry over when you get married. And so what that means is protect the women you are with. She's the weaker vessel. I know Peter was addressing marriage and not, you know, maybe a date or whatever. But you're the guy. You're stronger. Protect her if that comes to it. Ask them their opinions and ask them their views. Care about what they think about and consider their opinions now while you're single. You start doing that now, you start forming a habit of it. And when you get married, you have a habit. It's a good habit. Initiate the relationship. Lead, guys, in a relationship. And guys, I've told you, you can't separate your relationship with God from your relationship with women. And you can't. And that's true in marriage, and that's also true when you're single. That doesn't change. And so, guys, walk with God. Take seriously your relationship with Christ. And it will affect how you treat the women that you're around, even though you're single. If you want to start honoring women, start by honoring Christ. Okay, I'm going to pass around a sheet, and then I'm just going to close in prayer. I'm going to explain what this sheet is. Many years ago, when my children were small, I don't even think Rebecca was born yet, I made a list. I just felt God saying, speaking to me about different areas of my life. And what can I do in different areas of my life to walk with God well? And so on this sheet, I have four different areas of my life. And the first one is to know Christ. It comes from Philippians. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. And what can I do to know Christ? And I put down some things that I felt, I just prayed and said, God, what are things that I need to do as a man to walk with Christ and know Christ better? And I put these things down there. And then I have to present everyone perfect in Christ. It comes from Colossians 1:28. It's kind of like my verse. It's the verse God has given me. We proclaim him, teaching and admonishing everyone with all wisdom, that we might present everyone perfect in Christ. That's what the verse says. And I said, what are some things I can do to present others perfect in Christ? And I just made some, these are very practical things that I can do in my life to help me in this area. And then I have a third category, to love Leanne as Christ loves the church. That's Ephesians 5. And so what can I do as a husband to better love my wife? And I put down a list of things that I can do to better love her. And then the fourth thing is to give my children a heart for God. What can I do to better give my children a heart for God? And I have a list of things. They're all really practical. And I'm not telling you I am perfect at this list. But this is my list. This is what God has given to me specifically that I can do in all of these areas. And these areas are interrelated. That's why I'm giving you the whole list and not just cutting and pasting the Leanne part, even though we're talking about marriage. Because knowing Christ affects loving my wife. And so I'm just going to give you the whole list. And this list comes from my Bible. Actually, it's this piece of paper right here. All I did was copy it. I keep it here in my Bible. And I look at it from time to time just as a reminder of, okay, I'm not doing too well in that thing. I need to change there. And so I hope I made enough copies of this. I'm going to pass this around. Take yourself a copy. Feel free to, you can do whatever you want with it. You can ask me questions about it. You can throw it in the trash, whatever you want. But it's just something I'm trying to give you, something that can be practical. And with that, I'm going to pray. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us marriage as a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. And that you ask us to live that out. That you ask us as men to be Christ within that relationship. And that you ask women to be the church within that relationship. And I pray for us, wherever we are, single, married, that you speak to our hearts and make us more and more like Christ where we live. And that as men, we would honor, if we're married, our wives. And if we're not, the women in our lives. I pray you do this by your grace in us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.